This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Picture this. The nation listens spellbound to a standoff on the interstate between state police, the National Guard, and an organized group. Helicopters swirl in the sky. The rebels, they're angry, fortified by heavy machinery, a truckload of explosives, and are threatening to break through every blockade the cops set up. Hollywood, 2016? Nope. This impasse played out on the radio.
Well, we laid a strip for the Jersey Shore, preparing to cross the line. I could see the bridge was lined with bears, but it didn't have a doggone dime. I says, Pigpen, this here's a rubber duck. We just ain't gonna pay no toll. So we crashed the gate doing 98. I says, let them truckers roll 10-4.
Cause we got a mighty convoy rocking through the night. Yeah, we got a mighty convoy. Ain't you beautiful sight?
Convoy topped the pop charts in 1975, an unprecedented crossover hit for classic trucker country. Songs that celebrated men driving 18-wheelers across the nation's freeways as blue-collar heroes. In an article for Pacific Standard, the music writer Allison Fensterstock looked into the rise and fall of the trucker as an American hero in song. Allison, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So I was looking at the charts from 75. Captain and Tennille had the number one songs. Bee Gees were big. Kung Fu Fighting was on there. So what was the appeal of Convoy?
Well, I guess it was this kind of blue-collar backlash to this post-sexual revolution kind of sensitivity and hippy-dippy sweetness, right, that was in music. I mean, we're also talking about the same time that there was the rise of a country cool, like urban cowboy, and, you know, people sort of wearing cowboy hats and getting interested in line dancing, and this fascination with the kind of masculine blue-collar hero figure that the trucker represented.
So when did trucker country as a musical genre start to hit?
Well, I guess even though the 70s were kind of the peak of it, you know, when you also had films coming out that were based around trucker songs, you're really talking about the middle of the 20th century after the interstate highway system became sort of the main artery for delivering goods throughout America. You had this sort of massive growth in the trucking industry, and it really became the way that most items traveled around the country. So you also had truck stops that sprung up to serve the truckers when they were on the road, and you had country labels like the Star Day label in Nashville that were putting out records to fill those jukeboxes. And in kind of a, you know, a 20th century version of the folk tradition, you had these kind of ballads of the workers sort of being sung to them about their imaginary exploits and triumphs and failures and dangers out there on the road.
Well, let's hear some of that early music. This is 6 Days on the Road, the singer Dave Dudley.
Well, I pulled out of Pittsburgh, rolling down that eastern seaboard. I got my diesel wound up and she's a-running like I never before. There's a speed zone ahead, but all right, I don't see a cop in sight. 6 days on the road and I'm a-gonna make it home tonight.
Well, we can certainly hear the momentum in a song like that. What makes a great trucker country song?
It's like it's a song that really almost sounds like a truck. It's this kind of driving, propulsive rhythm going forward and this really cool kind of twangy guitar that sounds a little Duane Eddy, a little surfy, like the hot rod music. And it just sort of moves forward with this rollicking rhythm that kind of gets you all pumped up and feeling like you're accomplishing something, I think.
So who is the trucker as presented in these songs?
I think it's this really interesting kind of masculine ideal, you know, that can be connected to the outlaws or cowboys or any kind of American archetype of a man who gets things done, maybe lives outside of society's boundaries, but isn't a dangerous person. Because there's this really weird dichotomy with the trucker where it's someone that doesn't follow the rules. He's out there alone. You know, like in the Johnny Cash song, All I Do Is Drive, he says, I've got nothing in common with any man who's got to be home by 5. So there's this danger to it, and there's this cowboy sensibility. But at the end of the day, you know, he's essentially a provider. He's bringing you your groceries or your paper goods or, you know, chickens or whatever it is that he's driving across the country. So it's this weird combination of responsibility and rebellion at the same time. You know, like the marshal that would come through town and clean up the streets.
And it's a lonely business, certainly.
Yeah, I think there's a whole subset of trucker songs that talk about what it's like to be out there on the road alone. There are songs about being away from your children or your wife or marriages that break up or even the dangers of the road. You know, when you're out there by yourself in the dark, there's the great Phantom 309 song that even brings a little creepy haunting.
Well, that is one of my favorites of all time, Red Sovine's Phantom 309. Set the song up for us. Give us a little backstory before we hear it.
Gosh, it starts with the guy meets the trucker in the truck stop, and it turns out to be a ghost. And it turns out that the ghost trucker had voluntarily, you know, forced his rig off the road in order to save a bus full of school children. So it's this tremendous, like, sacrificial hero figure.
Well, let's hear a little bit of that. Red Sovine's Phantom 309.
Every driver in here knows Big Joe. But son, let me tell you what happened about 10 years ago. At the crossroads tonight where you flagged him down, there was a busload of kids coming from town. And they were right in the middle when Big Joe topped the hill. It could have been slaughter, but he turned his wheels. Well, Joe lost control, went into a skid, and gave his life to save that bunch of kids. And there at that crossroads was the end of a line for Big Joe and Phantom 309.
I love it. My favorite line of that song is when he goes in and tells the people at the coffee shop that Big Joe picked him up, and he says, "Well, son, you could have heard a pin drop." Convoy was a hit in 75. Now, this was the same year as Robert Altman's film Nashville, you know, which satirized country music and that sort of overblown sentimentality and patriotism. And Red Sovine, there's another song that he writes that's so smarmy. It's called Giddy Up and Go. Let's hear a little bit of that.
Oh, yeah.
So from that day on, it's just been me and old Giddy Up Go. Oh, I've made a lot of friends at all the truck stops. And some of them would kid me about my little sign. Of course, they knew where I'd got the name. Of course, I told them about that little boy of mine. And how his first word about the truck was, "Giddy up, go." Well, today I was barreling down old 66 when up beside me pulled a brand new diesel rig. Both stacks blowing black coal. And as he pulled around and back in front of me, a big lump came in my throat. And my eyes watered like I had a bad old cold. A little sign on the back of the truck that read, "Giddy up, go." Well, I pushed old Giddy up and stayed right on him till the next truck stop where he'd pulled up. And I waited till he went in and I offered to buy him a cup.
We're talking about the rise and fall of the trucker as an American hero, at least in song. Alison Fensterstock is a music writer who wrote about the history of the classic trucker song. Alison Fensterstock, what is going on in this song?
Oh, gosh, so you have the, you know, Red Sovine, you know, talking in the role of the trucker. Red Sovine is like the king of the tearjerker song. He has a terrible, terrible Christmas song called Faith in Santa that ends with a young orphan boy dying on Santa's lap, but it's okay because all he wants to do is go and live with God in heaven. It's my favorite Christmas song. But, you know, you have Red Sovine in the role of the trucker that can't spend as much time with his family as he wants, and he has this little boy who, you know, they have this thing together where they call the truck Giddy Up Go. So he, you know, puts that sign on his truck that says that, and one day after a long run on the road, he comes home and his wife and his son are gone, you know, and he doesn't know where they went or, you know, why they left him. And then years and years later, he sees another truck that says Giddy Up Go on it, and it turns out to be his son. It's kind of a happy version of Cats in the Cradle, I guess. And then Minnie Pearl has an answer song that kind of doubles down on the sadness, where she explains why the wife and son had to leave with no forwarding address And it's, you know, you kind of expect at the beginning of the song that she's just going to say, I can't handle this life as a trucker's wife. I can't be left alone. And it turns out that she had to go to a drier climate to die.
Then a dark cloud moved in. A few years later, without warning, after a few visits with her doctor, he said it was just a matter of time. She knew she'd have to move to a drier climate. And this troubled her mind. So without leaving a trace, she took her son and left town one night. She settled here, and we became the closest of friends.
The tragedy just piles up and up and up. Well, which leads to a question. I mean, people listening to these songs, not all of them truck drivers, maybe a fair bit of them were. I mean, I know a lot of truck drivers did come from rural backgrounds, especially initially, and probably listened to country music. But what was the wider appeal of these songs, do you think?
Sort of the same way that country music kind of appealed to people in urban centers in any way. It was this fantasy of kind of a more rugged, you know, frontier-like, independent life. And there's a romance, you know, to being out there on the road, getting things done. And there's also just country music just does sadness so wonderfully well. I mean, you'd listen and you just sort of torment yourself with these sad stories of danger or loneliness and sadness. And, you know, you're taking care of the American people. You're bringing them their stuff on your big iron rig.
Well, now there are a number of American truckers who are African-American, Latinos, women. Were they ever represented in trucker songs?
I mean, as far as I can tell, it's very, very white. I think there are a few songs, sort of more novelty songs, that put women in the driver's seat. I mean, mostly you kind of get the truck widow perspective, you know, like that Minnie Pearl song or like 18 Wheels and a Dozen Roses. You know, which is a song about a trucker who's finally retiring and coming home to his long-suffering wife who's been alone for so many years on the road. You have very few songs that actually put the woman in the driver's seat. You have Little Pink Mac by Kay Adams, which is like a cute song about being a lady driving a truck.
Everybody calls me the girl in the Little Pink Mac. The bumpers are chrome and so are the wheels. The stack. It's got polka dot curtains hanging in a sleeper of pink. The smack's a dandy, some kind of truck they think. In my truck driving boots, I stand about 5'3". But don't let the size fool you, man, I can take care of me. When you see a flash of pink go flying by, next thing you know, there's a taillight in your eye.
As far as truckers of color, you know, there's, again, I guess, novelty songs. You had an artist named who recorded his Soul Dog. His name was Carl Marshall, who his trucker songs inverted the idea of, Smokey being the enemy and the trucker being the hero with a little bit of a twist, because the voices he used, you know, he had this very obviously African-American voice, and he put kind of a funk bass line into that, like, familiar, like, trucker rhythm. But then you have the Smokey voice as this exaggerated white Southern accent. So when you're hearing it, you hear, like, a sort of racial tension.
Breaker, breaker, thanks, Bigfoot. I see him coming now. I'm going to give this redneck the run of his life. So look, bro, I'm going to be out on the other side of Pecan, Alabama, 10-4 and moving on. Wow, I went through Pecan, Alabama so fast they changed the name to Be Gone, Alabama. They'll be talking about Soul Dog for years to come and how he got away from getting back.
Hold it, this here's fair. Has anyone seen that Soul Dog fella? Now, if you see him, stop that boy. Heaven's a Mercatroid, he's trying to mess up my reputation.
What happened to the country trucker song?
I guess, man, when I spoke to some people at the Road Dog channel on Sirius Radio, you know, who do call-in shows with actual truckers, and what they had told me was what most old-school truckers tell them is that The industry became less fun after it was deregulated in the early 80s. It was more challenging for the independent owner-operators to make a living out on the road, so a lot of that cowboy aspect fell away. There were a lot more regulations in place to keep them from, you know, going for 20 hours without sleep and, you know, stopping when they wanted. So it became a little bit more of a work-a-day job.
Allison Fensterstock, thank you for speaking with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Allison Fensterstock wrote about the rise and fall of the trucker as an American hero in song for Pacific Standard. You'll find a link to her article where you can listen to all of the songs she mentioned and many more for yourself. That's at wordofmouthradio.org.
Hello, I'm a truck. You've heard songs about truck drivers many times, a story told. How they pulled out of Pittsburgh for 6 days on the road, about that Feather River Canyon and a climbing that old grapevine, that old roadhouse down in Texas, and the girls they left behind.